Turn with me, if you would, this morning for a short time to Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. We want to take, as our text this morning, verse 13. And he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him, and wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, The Master saith, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. And so on. The words of our Lord Jesus Christ, or the words of verse 13, sendeth forth two of his disciples, saying unto them, Go ye into the city, and so on. The kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Church of Christ, is a spiritual kingdom. The kingdom of the Lord is within the believer. It is in essence a spiritual kingdom. It's the Spirit and Christ dwelling in the believer by faith. So it is in essence a spiritual kingdom. But just because the kingdom of our Lord is a spiritual kingdom doesn't mean to say that it does not have practical difficulties that it needs to address. There are always practical difficulties confronting the church. And there were practical difficulties that were confronting the disciples at this time, not least where it was that they were going to keep the Passover. That's a practical difficulty. Now, whether it was an issue that the disciples themselves had questioned about, maybe perhaps within their own minds they were wondering where it was that they were going to keep the Passover. But be that as it may, it wasn't the disciples that addressed this question. It was the Lord Jesus Christ himself that addressed the question. It was the Lord Jesus Christ himself who raised the question, this practical question of where they were going to keep the Passover. And you see how wonderful that is, that how the Lord foresees these difficulties and addresses it. You see that very much even at the cross. At the cross, Christ is being crucified. His mother is there. Now, what is going to happen to his mother after he is raised up into glory? What is his mother going to do without him there? And you see that in the very height of the Lord's suffering, the Lord deals with that very issue. He makes provision for his mother, practical provision for his mother, when he sees her at the cross and she is there and John is there, and he says to his mother, Behold thy son, referring to John, Behold thy son. And to John he says, Behold thy mother. There was a new relationship that was forged at the cross between, as there always is. Believers are brothers and sisters in Christ. There is a new spiritual relationship that is forged at the cross. But that spiritual relationship had a practical problem to solve, and that was his mother's future. And of course, you know that when we are told that from that time forth, John took her into his own home. So there you see Jesus looking forward and making provision even for his own mother after he is gone. And of course, that same thing happens today. The Lord knows ahead the practical problems that the church faces. The Lord is well aware of these practical problems and addresses them even unbeknown to the church. I can think, for example, in the year 2000, there was a division within the Free Church, and our own congregation here was left with no property. Where were we going to worship? Where was there going to be a manse? These were practical problems. But we see here we are 20 years later, and the Lord has provided. We have a building, a church of our own. We have a manse of our own. And down through the centuries, you see how God makes provision for his church. For example, at the Reformation, at the very time of the Reformation, there is the printing press. God making provision for his church. Even today, COVID-19, who would have imagined? And yet the Lord has made provision. At the very time when the COVID-19 brings everybody into isolation, yet the Lord provides technical means whereby we can preach the gospel. So the Lord is always making provision, practical provision for the church. And that's what we want to look at this morning as we look at these verses, the practical provision that the Lord makes for his disciples as they are going to celebrate Passover, or keep the Passover that night. There are three things we want to look at. First of all, to these disciples, there is first of all a call to duty. Secondly, they are directed in their duty. And thirdly, they are helped in their duty. They are called to their duty, they are directed in their duty, and they are helped in their duty. These three things we want to see as the Lord brings these disciples to their duty. Now, let's look at the first one then, a call to duty. You see here, and he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, go ye, go ye. In these words, go ye, these two words, he is giving a call to duty to these disciples. Now you might wonder, why the Lord is calling these disciples to this duty? Could the Lord not just have gone into Jerusalem that evening? And how wonderful that would have been, that he would turn up at this upper room and the man would be there ready with this upper room for him. There it is. And how wonderful that would be in itself. But you see, the Lord, in providing for these disciples, he will use means to do so. He will use these disciples as the means by which he will establish and bring a room into being for them to hold the Passover supper. Jesus could just as easily have gone into Jerusalem that night, gone straight to that upper room, and the man welcomed him in, and he could have occupied that room. But the Lord will use means in providing for his church. He will use means, and he will use these two disciples by calling them to their duty. How the Lord uses means even today. He could save sinners just simply by the power of the Holy Spirit. Sinners today could be brought into God's kingdom just like that. God doesn't need to use a Bible. God doesn't need to use preaching. God could have chosen simply to have drawn sinners out of the world the way he did at the very beginning, without any Bible, and simply drawing them as sinners to himself. But God has chosen to use means. He uses the Bible and the Word of God as the means of blessing. He uses principally the reading of the word and study of the word, but principally the preaching of the word as the means whereby he will bless sinners. It is principally through the preaching of the word. Paul speaks of that, doesn't he, when he writes to the church at Corinth about, and to the church at Rome, it's through the preaching of the word. God has ordained that it is through the preaching of the word. Jesus didn't need to send these two disciples anywhere, but he does, because he will use them as the means of blessing. And you might say to yourself today, what's the point in prayer? You know, Jesus has taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, is God's purpose and is God's will not going to be done on earth? Whether we pray for it or not, will that not bring about, will God not bring about his purposes without our prayers? Of course he will. But God uses prayer as the means of blessing. He uses prayer as the means of bringing about his purposes. The way he uses these disciples to bring about his purposes. He is going to go, he is going to keep the Passover, he will now use these disciples as a means of securing the place where he will keep the Passover. So we need to remember that God uses means. We might say to ourselves, well, if God's going to save me, I'll be saved anyway. I don't need to do anything. I can just be saved. Not at all. God uses means. He uses the preaching of the word. He uses and he blesses the word. He uses the reading and all these means of grace. He's using them as a means whereby sinners will be saved. So we see he gives them a call to their duty. And I want you to notice as well that it is a particular duty that they are called to. There are only two disciples who are called here to do this. It's Peter and John. Luke tells us it's Peter and John that he calls to this duty. He's calling them to a duty. And Peter and John are commanded, go ye, he says. Go ye into the city. Now that wasn't for Matthew. It wasn't for Andrew. It wasn't for Judas or any of these other disciples. The duty that Peter and John had was a duty that was particularly given to them. And it couldn't be said that their duty was someone else's duty. Or they were given a specific duty to perform. My friend, and that's true even today, isn't it? The Lord gives us all different duties. My duties today in preaching the word is not your duty. But your duty is not someone else's duty. Everyone has their own place in God's kingdom and their own duties to perform. God calls people to their different places. And we ought to today ask ourselves, is the Lord saying unto us, go ye? Do we recognise what our duty is today? Go ye, when he says go ye. Is the Lord saying to us, go ye? Now that duty might simply be something like, believe the gospel, that they'll be saved. That might just be simply your duty today to believe the gospel and to be saved. Is that what the Lord is saying to you? Go ye, flee to Christ. Or is it maybe that you are already saved and he's saying, go ye, run the race that is set before you, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Is he saying to you, this is your duty? It's not that there are certain duties that are common to every believer, certain duties common to every sinner. But there are also particular duties that are given to individuals. And what we need to do is, have we the ear to hear what the Lord is saying to us when he says, go ye? Are we listening to what God's duty is for us today? The particular duties that the Lord would lay to our hands. Well, he laid to these two men this particular duty. He called them to this duty, to go into the city. Now, I want you, secondly, if we've seen how he's calling them and he will use them as a means of blessing and he's calling them to this duty, let us see, secondly, how he directs them in their duty. If we've seen how he's called them, why he's called them, why they've to go in and do this, let us secondly see how he directs them in their duty. Now, you look here how detailed these directions are. Go into the city, meet a man bearing a pitcher of water. Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, there make ready. You see how the Lord is laying this responsibility upon them and directing them in their duty. Now, there were many things that these disciples didn't understand, even at this time. They didn't understand what Jesus meant when he said they would go into Jerusalem and that he would suffer and die. They, in fact, were confused altogether. Even after he was crucified, they were still confused about that, as you see later on when they meet back in the upper room. When Jesus has risen from the dead, he meets with them in this room that they're going to prepare. Now, there were many things that they just didn't understand at this time. But when Jesus directed them here to their responsibility, he made it very plain what their responsibility was. He laid it out one after another. Go ye into the city, meet a man bearing a pitcher of water. Whosoever he shall go in, say to the good man of the house. You now say to him, the master saith. This is how you've got to listen to the directions that I'm giving you now, Peter and John. Listen to these. Say to the good man of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover? And then he will say to you, he will take all, and he'll show you the chamber that's all prepared. You see how Jesus is explaining to them their responsibility. Now, there may be many things today in the Bible that we equally don't understand. How much do we understand about heaven? How much do we understand about what heaven is like? How much do we understand what it's like for one of the saints to leave this world and to enter into the presence of Jesus Christ? There are many theological things that we might not fully understand. But when God requires a duty of us, he makes it very plain. He tells us exactly what that duty is. He doesn't say, this is your duty today, and then speak in riddles. He doesn't speak in riddles. He tells you very plainly what your duty is. Jesus today in his word, is Jesus saying to you today, go ye? Well, if he's saying go ye, he will be directing you and in the duty that you have to go, because he makes the rough places plain. He speaks very plainly about the way of salvation. For example, there are many things that we maybe don't not understand about heaven and glory, and there may be many things that we don't understand about the triune God, three persons, one God. And there may be many theological things that people don't understand, but the way of salvation, Jesus makes very plain. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And what Jesus expects is obedience. Obedience. Now, when you come to see the instructions that are given by Jesus here, they were to go into the city. Now, Jesus doesn't say to them, go into the city and then go to this man's house. And just say to the man of the house, we're going to have we're going to come in. Master says, where is the guest chamber? Jesus doesn't do that, though. Jesus says to them, go, and then you'll find a man with a pitcher of water. You follow him, and then he will take you to the house. Why doesn't Jesus just say, go to the house? It's obvious the master of the house is a believer, because later on, after Jesus has risen, it's back to this upper chamber that they come to, and it's the man of the house, the master of the house, is obviously one that Jesus knows is a believer. He's to see this man's servant is to take him to this. Why not just send him straight to the house? Well, very often, you see, when God lays a duty to our hand, he not only seeks obedience, but he seeks faith. in performing that duty. You see, when Jesus says, go into the city and you'll see a man carrying a pitcher of water, not one of the disciples say, well, wait a minute, what's this all about? Why go in and look for a man with a pitcher? Well, you would have thought someone would might have said, you know, questioned it. But you see, these disciples never questioned what Jesus said here. They never said, well, why not just go straight to the house? Why go this way? They, by faith, followed and were obedient to what Jesus had to say to them. They needed faith. And sometimes, you know, when the Lord demands a duty of us, sometimes it's not a straight, plain forward sailing. For example, we might think the way to get people into God's kingdom, the worldly way, would be to get the sword. But Jesus says, no, it's by the preaching of the word. The wisdom of God is wiser. That God's wisdom is far wiser than any wisdom that man would have. The weakness of God is stronger than man. God will command, Jesus Christ commands us to do something. And we might not always understand the reasoning why we have to do something. But God doesn't demand of us understanding. He demands of us faith and obedience. That's why, as I said earlier on, someone might say, well, if I'm going to be saved, I'll be saved anyway. So I don't need to do anything. If I'm going to be saved, God will save me. Because God has decreed the elect and everything else, and if I'm going to be saved, I'll be saved anyway. What foolish arguing. Because God doesn't say to us that we must believe in election or anything else. He says that we need to believe. We need to be obedient. We need to obey and arise in faith. These disciples went in faith, believing what Jesus had directed them to do was the right way. Now, we need today to recognise our responsibility and in faith arise and do the duty that Jesus Christ directs us in, believing in faith that what Jesus commands us to do is the right way and the right thing. How often does God perhaps direct us in his word that directing us this way and we think we know better than the Lord Jesus himself? We don't know better than Jesus. And these disciples didn't know better than Jesus. Jesus knew better than them. And when he gave them direction to go into the square, to go into Jerusalem, to look for a man with a pitcher of water, to follow him, and he would lead them to the house that they were to go to, they didn't question it. They were obedient to what Jesus told them to do. So we see the call to this duty. We see Jesus directing them in their duty, very minutely, very simply, very clearly, giving them clear directions, directions that they may have been able to, they may have wanted to question, but they didn't. They believed what they did exactly what Jesus told them to do. But the third thing is, he helped them in their duty. In many respects, he was going before them. He didn't give them a duty that was impossible to do. He didn't give them a duty that they would find so difficult that they simply couldn't do it. In fact, he tells them that he knows the outcome. He's giving them a responsibility to do something, and then he tells them, this is how it will work out for you. You see, he's directing them, and then he's also saying to them, as you perform this duty, I know exactly the answer to it all. You see, when Jesus deals with his church, Jesus is knows all the problems, all the spiritual problems, but not just the spiritual problems, he knows the practical problems that will confront the church. And what he's saying to the church today is exactly what he says to the disciples, these two disciples, when he gives them this responsibility: you do what I tell you to do and all will be well. You follow the commandments that I give you and everything will work out the way it should. Because he knows. And he gives them his word. See what he says here. Where ask the good man of the house, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. It's all prepared. It's not just that there's going to be a large room there. It's all prepared for them. Now, how wonderful that is, that Jesus gives them a word that tells them what to do and gives them the assurance that if they follow his instructions, they will find everything in place. You see, Jesus is going before his disciples here. Everything is prepared. Before they ever set one foot away from Jesus, before they ever set foot inside that city, everyone's prepared. It's all prepared. All they need to do now is go in and make it ready. There's a large upper room that's prepared. It's all prepared. Jesus is ahead of them. I mean, that's true today, isn't it? That's true today. When there are practical problems, when there are problems facing the church, Jesus is already there ahead. So he's already there. We've already seen, you know, at the Reformation, printing press is already there. Zoom and sermon audio and all these things, they're all there today because before God is there, Jesus is there beforehand. It's a wonderful example, is it not, of what you read in Romans chapter 8. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. Jesus here not only gives them his word, but he directs providence for them. He's directing providence for them. They have to go into the city and they will meet a man bearing a pitcher of water. This man won't be there 5 minutes early and he'll pass by and they'll miss them. The disciples won't be there 5 minutes too late. It will be timed to perfection. Providence is working for the good of these disciples. It's not just the word of Jesus Christ. It's providence is in his hand. And as the Messiah, as the God-man, all providence and all power in heaven and in earth has now been laid into the hands of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the living Saviour, and all providence and power has been given unto him. And he's working things for the good of his church. They go in to the city. And at the very point where they're in the city, they will come across a servant who's carrying a pitcher of water. They have then to follow him. And he'll take them right to the house. That man isn't going to go somewhere else. He's the servant of this house. And the master in that house is a believer in Jesus Christ, and he will give them the upper room to use for the Passover feast. And it will be a large upper room, furnished and prepared. You see, Jesus is way ahead of them. Jesus is already working everything out for their good. And that's true even today, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ says, this is the way, walk ye in it. I will direct you, I will call you to your duty, I will direct you in your duty. And when you walk in that duty, you have my word to carry with you, and you will even see providence working for your good. My friend, have you ever watched providence working for the good? Things that perhaps come to pass, and you say to yourself, you know, what's God doing in this? And you just can't understand it, but when you look back upon it, you discover Dad, all things, all these things are working for the good of God's people, for the cause of Christ. All these things are working together for the good of the Lord's people. God's timing, Christ's timing, is perfect timing. They would go in to Jerusalem, and when they went in, they'd be maybe saying to themselves, well, when are we going to see this man with the water pot? We're going to be told. And that would be quite an unusual thing, a man with a water pot here, a servant. And they're watching, and then there he is. Exactly as Jesus had told them it would happen. To the second. And they follow him, and he brings them to a house where there's an upper room already prepared, as Jesus had said. My friend, the word of Jesus Christ and the fact that providence itself is in his hands means that the church today can rejoice. The Lord will give us our duties, he will direct us in our duties, and he will help us in these duties because he will work providence for the good of God's people. What a wonderful encouragement we have, therefore, on this, the Lord's Day. Is the Lord saying to you today, go ye, arise, and be obedient to my word? Is that what he's saying to you today? Well, my friend, if Jesus is saying that to you, whatever duty that may be, it's a particular duty to you. What is God saying to you today when he says, go ye? Well, if he commands you that, and he's calling you in that, in the word of God, then it is your duty to be obedient. He will direct you in it. He will direct your path. He will call you. He will direct you. You are to be obedient. You are to arise in faith. And as you do, you might think to yourself, all these difficulties that would confront me if I were to arise and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But remember this. He gives you his word. And he will even direct providence in a wonderful way to help you in your duty. Let us then today have ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to understand what the Lord is saying to us in his word. Let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and ever blessed Lord, we thank thee for thy goodness to us. We thank thee for the many blessings that we receive from thy word. We pray that thou, Lord, would direct us in our duty this day, that we would behold wondrous things out of thy law, and that thou, Lord, would help us. We thank thee that even providence is in thine hand, and we bless thee that thou art using providence for the glory of thy name, for the glory of the Father, and for the good of thy church. Bless us now, undertake for us, pardon us all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're going to sing in Psalm 45, and it's the second version of the psalm. Psalm 45, the second version, and it's from the beginning to the end of the verse, marked 5. And the tune is Golden Hill. One of the benefits, I suppose, of the way we are worshipping just now is that we hear tunes that perhaps we've never known before, and not so sure we've known Golden Hill before. But we'll sing in Psalm 45, the second version of the psalm, from the beginning of to the end of the verse, Mark 5, and the tune is Golden Hill. My heart inditing is good matter in a song. I speak the things that I have made, which to the king belong. My tongue shall be as quick, his honour to indite, and is the pen of any scribe that useth fast to write. Psalm 45, from the beginning to the end of the verse, Mark 5. My heart inditing is good matter in a song.
My heart indites. Thank you.
following are the intimations, the service this evening at 6:30 and the prayer meeting on Monday evening at 7 o'clock, the denominational prayer meeting. The congregational prayer meeting is at Thursday at 7:30 and on sermon audio at 8 o'clock. And the services next Lord's Day are at the usual hours of 11 and 6:30. These are all the intimations that, God willing, will conclude with the benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, three persons, one God, rest on and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.